Welcome to this service of the Word, a worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look favorably upon your family. Graciously rule our bodies, lest we are enticed to love the world, and guard our spirits, lest we fail to recognize your love. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared to them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in the land of your own. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy.
If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you.
I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope.
I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning.
Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption.
He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Martha in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come along with her also wept. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave cloth and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did and believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I want to take a moment to read a story to our children about a family with two sisters whose names were Martha and Mary, and their brother whose name was Lazarus. Parents, this is from the Spark Story Bible, and if you have one at home, I encourage you to reread it with your kids later today. Three of Jesus' good friends included a man named Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. Jesus was on a long journey when he found out that Lazarus was dying. It took Jesus a few days to travel to see his sick friend. When Jesus arrived, he saw Lazarus' sister Martha. She had some sad news. "Jesus, Lazarus is dead," cried Martha. "I wish you could have arrived earlier. You might have been able to save him." Jesus tried to comfort her. "Martha, don't be sad. Lazarus will live again." Martha believed what Jesus said. Then Lazarus' other sister, Mary, came to greet Jesus. She wished Jesus had come sooner too. "Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus might still be alive," she wept. She also believed that Jesus could have healed her brother. Jesus was sad because Lazarus died too. He cried and cried. Jesus, Martha, and Mary went to the tomb where Lazarus was buried. Jesus told some standing there, "Take the stone away from the tomb." The people were surprised at what Jesus said. Martha reminded Jesus that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. They had already made his body ready for burial by wrapping it in special clothes. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He insisted that they open the tomb. When the heavy stone was rolled away, Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out!" The people were frightened and amazed when Lazarus came out of the tomb. Since his hands and his feet were all wrapped up in the burial cloths, the people had to help Lazarus. When they saw Lazarus alive again, they laughed and danced and sang. Many people that day believed Jesus would bring new life to all people. Kids, I'd like you to think about who, besides your family, you'd like to see right now. It might be grandparents or aunts and uncles who are not supposed to come and visit for a while, or your school classmates. Say a prayer of thanks for them and ask God to watch over them till you can see them. Then ask your parents about people in their lives who they can't see right now, and you can pray for them, or take time today and call them. If they have a picture of them on the wall or in their phone, where all our pictures are nowadays, look at it while you pray. And remember that God will bring us all together again, even if it takes a while. And finally, remember to save up your offerings so you can put an extra big one in that water jug we have in church when we all come back together again. Have a good week. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the
fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The fascinating thing about our story from John is how Martha, a grieving sister, could on the one hand say to Jesus, "I know that God will give you whatever you ask," and at the same time give a rather uncertain answer when Jesus asks her if she believed that could include eternal life. We must conclude from verses 25 through 27 of John 11 that she believed Jesus could heal a dying brother, but not necessarily raise a dead one. "I know that God will give you whatever you ask" is a rather qualified whatever, confined to the visible world, with no apparent consideration given to an eternal one. Martha's response was perhaps a take on the old adage, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure," as though saying, if you'd come in time to deal with his fever, you wouldn't now have to visit his grave. We might be prone to ask a similar question these days. "Lord, if you had stopped this pandemic, we wouldn't be hearing of folks who are gravely ill, the many who've died, and overwhelmed medical workers, or ourselves be calling the unemployment office, wonder about the survival of our businesses, and isolate ourselves from one another just when in spring we're being invited outdoors and our Easter Day celebrations are just weeks away." What Martha didn't know or didn't perceive is that Jesus was already countering the effects of human suffering and death by his ministry on earth. He talked endlessly to anyone who'd give him the opportunity of gracious forgiveness and life, to those who trust that God would give such a gift to a sinner in the first place. He'd rehearsed that message with her just moments before. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." You believe that, don't you, Martha? You do believe that, don't you? And of course, what Lazarus was about to discover, what Martha and her sister Mary heard, but only dimly, if at all, understood, is what we asserted with confidence at the start of our gathering. "In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins." Our lesson from Romans 8 serves as a clarification of what that means, saying in verse 1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And again in verse 11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." Death, the issue in all our lessons today, is a terrible separation. For now, sadly, well over 1,000 families in our nation, this pandemic has visited them with the same sadness of Mary and Martha. We must pray in faith that the Lord comfort them all and sustain those who work to cure the gravely ill. Most of us are experiencing what I should like to call mini-deaths, insofar as we've suffered separation from one another, or lost our jobs, or been kept out of our schoolrooms, or simply live under a cloud of anxiety about how far this will go and how fast it will abate. We could all be excused for wondering, as Martha did, if some preemptive prayers to God months ago could have done something. Instead, we must observe what remains of Lent 2020, believing what Martha could only bring herself to the edge of saying, "Anyone who knows and believes in Jesus, though they die, yet shall they live." Jesus Christ went to the town of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus to demonstrate what God intends for those who grieve and suffer separation, an end to it. What grieves you grieves God. The tears of Jesus in this story is proof positive of that. What separates us from joy and peace is God's enemy too. God will overcome all of that. And so too, dear people, will we. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of God's mercy, God with a human face and a human heart. The same Jesus whose voice would moments after quizzing Martha call Lazarus from death into life the one in whose presence no dead body will remain dead, who mourned with friends when they were grieving, who himself would soon be saying his farewells to his own family and friends, this Jesus, God with a human heart, knows how awful illness and dying and grieving is. In the moment he stood before Lazarus's tomb and wept, Jesus knew what was in store for him too. And while they were likely tears of sadness, don't for a moment exclude the possibility that Jesus might have been the very first person to go to a grave and cry tears of joy. I don't want to overstate the obvious, but Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. What could be a happier moment than that, than the Lord of life rehearsing what his own death would do to death itself? End it. Like Martha long ago, we might strain mightily to understand why God doesn't intercede each time we suffer, perhaps because we cannot, like her, fully comprehend resurrection and eternal life and the fullness of that mystery. Yet that is precisely what we say we believe when, as we will in a few minutes, we say we believe in Jesus, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and then that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. When God created us, God didn't make us immune from grief. He made it possible, even intentional, simply by giving us the capacity to love. Grief, in some sense, is love in action, and right now it has some heavy lifting to do, helping us bear one another's sorrows and fears. No, instead of immunity to grief and the circumstances that cause it, God binds us to his risen Son, making us people who grieve just like he did, recalling that those tears of our Lord were doing double duty. They mourned illness and death and its sadness, and then saw life in its joy, and soon, by the mercy of our God, we will as well. God strengthen and encourage you through the week ahead. Amen.
us profess the faith of the Church, the faith in which we baptize.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, by your word you laid the foundations of the earth, and you see the beginning from the end. Surround us with your grace and peace, and preserve us during this time of great need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Holy Father, that nothing can separate us from your love through Christ Jesus our Lord. Strengthen us in his love, that we may consider the needs of others before our own. We especially pray for those who are isolated and cannot be with their loved ones during this time. May your Spirit continue to bind us together through your steadfast love, which never fails. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant help and aid to those whose livelihoods are under threat. We ask you would provide for their needs and draw them to turn to you in faith and hope in their distress. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all physicians, nurses, and other staff working in our hospitals. Grant them strength, wisdom, patience, and skill as they seek to console and care for those who are sick and suffering. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who work in our government, the armed forces, and those who provide essential services to protect and serve our communities. May they proceed with diligence and careful discernment in their efforts to serve us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray you would comfort all those who are afflicted in any way. Especially we pray for Jeanette Kettleson and those we name before you now. Assure them of your love, O Lord, that they might wait and hope for you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.